Okay, today is May 2nd, 2015, and this interview is taking place at Mid-Continent Public Library Woodneath Center, and I will be interviewing Cody Crone, who was born 1989, and my name is Alexa Marie Straws, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Park University and Cody's college years and what he majored in and just kind of his life in college and how it's got him to where he is now. So we'll start off with the most cliche question in the book. Why did you choose Park University?
that's not a cliche. That's a very good question. I always like to backtrack that question a little bit to say that Park wasn't actually my first choice. I had a friend who senior year was looking at Park University and told me, but I never even considered the school. I had started out going to Missouri State University. My only reasoning for going there, other than the fact that they actually had a major I liked, which was creative writing, I had a sister who lived down there, so I had someone familiar. Long story short, it didn't work out after a semester because of no opportunities for scholarships, even though I was pulling a 4.0, but living on a floor that had an average of like 1.5 GPA. So I decided to come back. I took a semester off spring of 2009. So I started in fall 2008 at MSU, and spring 2009 I took a semester off because I was too late to enroll anywhere. I withdrew myself from MSU the day before classes. And so it wasn't long after withdrawing, probably a week or so, that I decided I wanted to take a look at Park because it was close. Beyond that, I didn't have much research. I didn't do much research on the school other than what's it take to apply to the schools, navigating their website. And at the time, they had kind of a weird... they had a website that wasn't very easy to navigate, and I've also seen the new updates from... They had a before-me website, and then they had a newer website while I was there, and then the newest website. The changes are confusing to me now, so I would have been in the exact same boat if I was trying to apply now. So I applaud you for figuring out the website and where everything goes. But that was my reasoning, and I also wanted to continue my English degree, specifically a creative writing degree. And Park had an English writing. It was closer than UMKC, even though they had a creative writing degree. I didn't want to have to drive 30, 40 minutes down to the city each time I had to go to class. It was 5 minutes away from my home. Parkville has always been my home. It's been very familiar my whole life. And so I guess I didn't really have that much of a good reason to choose Park other than its geographic location. They didn't end up having a creative writing degree, but they had an English writing degree, so I opted for that.
Okay, so that's what your major's called?
Yes, English writing.
English writing, and did you minor in anything?
I did. When I started at Park, I, of course, wanted to go for the creative writing degree and settled for the English writing because they didn't have creative writing there, and they still don't. They do have a master's and certificate in creative writing, but they still don't have a whole major dedicated to it. And I chose that because in high school I had a love of my language arts classes. I really enjoyed studying older texts, as well as I didn't really get into very many newer texts, unless you count Scott Fitzgerald, but the English degree wasn't really... I thought I was going to get more creative writing out of it than I did. I ended up getting more technical writing out of it, and more... It was more of a how do students write? So projecting yourself forward, you want to be a professor of English writing yourself. So you you want to teach the freshman writing courses, the upper writing courses as well. But it was still very beneficial because it was all about writing and how people write. And I think that was probably more beneficial than having a bunch of classes where I just produced material. And my to get back to your question about the minor, I was considering doing a double major when I was going to MSU and doing a philosophy degree with it. Funny enough, when I started at Park, they had a philosophy and religions major, but because I had only declared the English writing degree within my first semester, I decided I'd play it safe and just wait another year before I declared anything else. And then in the spring of 2010, so the fall of 2009, I started at Park, spring 2010, I was going to try and declare the philosophy major as well, but they had taken it away. And so that was really interesting, and I had become concerned that they weren't going to bring it back at all, but there were rumors that they were getting ready to hire a full-time philosophy professor, which, with their actions of taking away the major, didn't really make sense. So it was a very interesting and confusing time for wanting to choose the philosophy major. But my majors are really just, major and minors are just a love of things that I'm curious about. They help me explore the world in a different way. They brought me to topics that I don't normally consider on my own, and that a lot of us don't really even consider to that deep of a level. So,
yeah. So you never changed your major, had any second thoughts about it? You always knew what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I always had a really good feeling about what I wanted to do. At the very, very beginning when I was going to MSU, while I had declared the creative writing major, I was also taking an astronomy class because I really enjoy learning about the universe and the cosmos. So I was considering of doing a minor in astrology. Not astrology. Either way, it wasn't physics directly, because that has too much math in it, and I didn't want to wrangle with the people who are much smarter than me. I could have done it, but it would have taken a lot of work, and I think I was a little lazy in deciding what I wanted to do with my life until I discovered libraries, and then I was good. But I never really considered changing my major once I got to Park. I thought about the idea of doing a double major, but since when I went to Park, I apologize, I completely forgot about this. Going back to why I chose Park, they gave me a full ride tuition scholarship because of my grades at MSU, and so that was my reasoning for choosing Park over UMKC, even though they didn't have the program that I was looking for. And by choosing another major, that would send me over the time period that I'd have of tuition that I wouldn't have to personally be paying out of my pocket.
Yeah, that's a really good reason. That's something that's kind of helped me too. Location and money.
It is really helpful. Those are the smart things. I mean, you have to be very fiscally conservative when it comes to your education, because otherwise tuition's not going down, it's just going up.
No, yep, it went up this year. So, yep, I'm figuring all these things out slowly. So, kind of moving on to another topic, what kind of, like, clubs and extracurricular activities were you involved in during college?
I didn't think I was going to get involved in any clubs the first semester. And then the second semester, I started to really think about actually making connections and making friends and not just being the commuter that goes to school, gets to campus, and comes back home and calls it good. And that was really inspired by all of my English department faculty, as well as the adjunct philosophy professor who I had taken two courses in that previous semester. And because they had taken away the philosophy major, there was, of course, a little support for philosophy, and there was no philosophy club. I was really interested in having more opportunities to get to know what other people thought on the same sorts of topics. You know, why are we here? What's it mean to be human? What is the human experience? What's it mean to be alive? And then what's it mean to live? But there wasn't a group, so I decided with a friend from from my intro to philosophy class the previous semester that we would start this philosophy club. So about halfway through the semester, we actually approached the activities department, for lack of a better term. I used to know what they were called, but I don't remember anymore. Student activities is probably a closer term, but we found out what the process was to create a club, and we had to go through creating a constitution, which I still have, and I'm pretty sure that's the same constitution that they have. We had to create what it meant, how members could join. We ended up figuring out how we would do fundraisers in order to match funding that was given to us by the Student Government Association. And unfortunately, my colleague in this, he had some things happen in his life that he wasn't able to continue on with me in this endeavor. So I went full steam ahead alone. And this actually was in tandem with me deciding to be a freshman mentor. I believe they're called, or they were called, first year experience mentors, FYEs, when I applied and ended up getting one of the positions. And that position is kind of like being an RA, but you don't have to live in the dorms. It's essentially just being someone that people who are brand new to the college experience, they can come to you with questions, they know that you are willing to give your time and your advice. You are a little more connected into the school and know where to direct them in terms of resources. So if they were having trouble with their writing classes or writing in general in any of their classes, you would direct them to the Writing Development Center. Or if they were looking for a job after they graduated, they could still contact me and say, where could I go to do this? And I would direct them to Park's Career Development Center. And so with that position, I was already linked into a really supportive group of friends. So when the next year started, when the philosophy club really got going, they joined for like the first, I believe the first meeting. If anyone gets a chance to be a mentor or an RA, best experience of college. And if you get to be not just a member of a club, but you get to be one of the running members, whether you're president, vice president, treasurer, historian, whatever. It's really cool to see that side of things, because there are a lot of things in life as you grow up that those skills relate directly to what you're doing, or just having a knowledge of how these things kind of work in a group setting.
With all of the time you spent with probably classwork and all of your extracurricular activities, did you have time for an internship?
Yes. So, I want to also preface that I started working with Mid-Continent Public Library as a page in 2010, February 2010. So this whole time, when I started picking up these extra activities, I was working 2 to 3 days a week for maybe 4 or 5 hours. But for so I worked mostly, and while I was doing all these extra things, I became a desk clerk, which meant more hours, and then I became halftime salary in 2011, which was actually my second year of being philosophy club president and my second year doing first year experience mentor stuff. So I had to work 20 hours a week. I was restricted to that. I could work no more. I could work no less than 20 exactly. I believe it was through an email from the Career Development Center. And it was actually something I wanted to do the summer before. So not summer 2012, but the summer of 2011, right before I got my 20-hour salary time position at Mid-Continent, which is fun. I just find it funny because all the things that the decisions I could have made that would have changed where I'm at now. But anyways, so I got it in August 2012, and I was working with this really cool couple. Well, just one guy, but I also ended up working with his wife because they had a business from home. So I started working for the Parkville Chamber of Commerce, and the Parkville branch, Kira was the branch manager at the time, and she was trying to make connections there, so that was kind of my in. So I was trying to do double duty there. And essentially, it was hanging out at the train station depot, answering phone calls, mostly being an expert Googler, and then redirecting people to other phone numbers. And then I think one time I showed a guy to the train museum that's in that little building. It's a little neat train museum, but he knew so much more about trains than I ever will that he was giving me the tour.
Oh my gosh.
So that was really funny. But it was cool to be able to attend a lot of the Chamber of Commerce meetings. There were some things going on. The gentleman I was working with, Jason, he wasn't the selected director. He was like the interim gentleman. So I worked with him for about half a semester. And then at half a semester, they ended up choosing someone different to be their director. And so at that point, I had an option to stay on and go with this new guy. Or I could continue my internship with him and his business, which was life coaching, and they were trying out a new workshop. So that meant doing research, meant creating booklets, helping just record the workshops. And so I opted for that because I was familiar with him. I really liked how he operated, whereas the other guy was a complete unknown. And to be honest, the duties that I was charged with were so minimal to me that I saw little value if Jason wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't know how the other gentleman would have operated. And that's not to say anything bad about him. I just, it was an unknown, and I decided to go with what I knew. And that was a really great opportunity. It was a good opportunity for me to switch gears and work with an individual, almost kind of like a contract person without being paid for it, essentially. So doing favors for a friend on a more professional level, which was really cool. Because I got to take photography for him. I got to do video work. I had a chance to start working on a book with him. I don't know if he took what we did together anywhere. I don't think so, because after I graduated, we kept working together in that capacity, but he ended up getting another job that took him out, took him traveling for into really far, like basically around the world places. So he didn't have as much time to spend on that life coaching business as much anymore. So it kind of fell away. But if he was to contact me and say, "Hey, I'm back. I'm still hoping to work on this. Would you want to help?" If I could somehow fit it into my schedule, I would, because I really enjoyed working with them. So that was a really great opportunity. I also, with that internship, got to meet some representatives, which has been helpful because they've remembered me when I've gone to do library advocacy.
Wow.
So you really don't know when you do something how that's going to impact what you're doing in the future. I mean, you hopefully have a good idea.
Yeah.
You go, you get this degree, you're going to probably work in this field. But the connections that you make, the extra skills that you pick up, will also help you.
Oh, that's really amazing. So how did you find like a healthy balance of like doing your internship work and your school work and then also your Mid-Continent work?
That's a good question. So I'm going to tell you where I failed. So that semester when I first got the 20-hour salary job, I was doing 18 credit hours with Park, and I was doing my at least two extracurricular activities. I think I had like a third club that I was a part of, but of course with all that I hardly did anything with it. But that semester was also the semester I was taking my English comp exams, which meant looking, really knowing the text that I had been reading in previous classes, selecting three areas to test in. And I had heard that you would get three questions. In order to move on to the oral stage of the exam, you only had to pass two of them. You could fail your third, but so long as you got a pass or high pass on your other ones, you'd move on to the oral exam. And during the test, I didn't do time management, so I spent most of my time on the two sections I was really comfortable with. And I knocked those questions out of the park. And then on my third one, I decided that, you know, I'm going to go back through my other two questions, really make sure those are tight, because I only need to pass two sections, then I can technically just not put anything in this one, I guess, and just fail it. Well, be that as it may, it turns out I couldn't do that. And what was funny and really frustrating at the time was I was told that if I'd even put like a few sentences, a paragraph on that, that I would have moved on. And so here I am just slapping myself in the face, facepalm, could have had a V8. I was just like, really, guys? And what's funny is one of the professors, I guess they were technically supposed to look at my answers because I didn't do that third question. They weren't even going to look at them. But my professor looked at my two other questions. And one was specifically geared towards how students write. And my answer, she said that don't change a single thing. If you can reiterate that completely, do it. Because that was an amazing answer. And so I knew I had the other two sections easily. So if you have any kind of questions about tests, don't make assumptions. Ask the professors, because to be honest, that wasn't in the moment, oh, I guess I can do this and not worry about it. And of course, never leave anything blank, but try to manage it so you give enough time to the sections that you're least comfortable with. Because the ones you're comfortable with, you can just fly with. If you have a comps exam, I don't know if you will in computer science. But that was a situation where I was really, really busy. I had lots of things going on. I did take time to study the section that I didn't know that well. But it was the second semester when I had more time that I was able to really dig down into those texts and get more comfortable with it. I still actually technically failed that section. I put two paragraphs down the next time and I moved on. I did fail that section in the second time. So I knew that I wasn't going to get it because it was medieval literature, and I was never going to be an English literature major. I just can't do that. I can't memorize things like that in terms of anything, really. If it's concepts, I got it. I can write about concepts all day. But if it's just memorizing basic, like, factual things that other scholars have said, then
Shakespeare and all that.
Yeah. And I can analyze things really, really quickly and really easily. But if it's just reiterating stuff, I'm lost. So if you ever come to a situation like that, it sucks, but you'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn a lot about what you're supposed to do, which is good, because if you can get a second chance, then you'll knock it out the second time. And more often than not, you're going to get a second chance.
That's really good advice, because I'm sure I'll come to all kinds of problems like that and decisions. And
well, that's, and it's also something to remind yourself, if you ever get to the point where you feel like you don't have enough time to do studying for anything, or you don't have enough time to give yourself personal time. And that was probably my big thing, was I was spending, I did study for my exams that first semester. I did everything else really well. I got a 4.0 that semester, did great at work, didn't miss any hours or anything like that. Actually, I may have slept in once on that. No, I remember I was stressed out from an honors conversation with my, not with the director, but with my personal supervisor, that I just completely blanked that I had to work that day. And I got called like 30 minutes after the start of my shift. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst day ever. So those things are going to happen, but make sure that you have time to do everything you need to do. And then you also leave yourself time, because if you don't have your personal time, things are still going to get messed up. You need that time just to kind of reset.
Mm-hmm. That's really important. And speaking of honors program, why did you decide to join?
I partly decided to join it because Dr. Brackett scared me. Not really. I had heard about it. I want to say that they contacted me, but it could have been that I was curious and I contacted her. I'd been 6 years, and at 25 years old, your brain really starts to go. But either way, I met with her in her office in the spring of 2009 before I even started, to just kind of get a feel about what the honors program was like. And since I was starting technically in my sophomore-ish year, because I had, from high school, I had a whole semester of credits, so I was technically on time when I started Park in terms of credit hours. But it would give me an opportunity to do something that a normal class would not give you, which is do that 3-semester long project in basically anything you wanted to do. So I could have chosen to do some sort of survey project, but being a creative writing degree, or someone who wanted to do a creative writing degree, I automatically thought that is where I can get my creative writing in, is by doing that for my project. So that's where it gave me the opportunity to supplement that English writing degree with creative writing.
How did the honors program kind of benefit you and where you're at now?
I really think that it helped keep me not just motivated for my schoolwork, because I've always been good at making sure that I get stuff done and doing it to the best of my ability, or just about to the best of my ability as possible. Mm-hmm. But it really taught me some skills that, some long-term skills that I don't think I would have gotten from just going semester to semester, class to class. Because you have that 3-long semester project, and it really is self-motivated. It is self-driven. You submit progress reports, and I guess if you want a good grade during those 2 semesters where you're just supposed to be working on your project initially, and all you want is a good grade, making sure you do something for the sake of being able to, say, fill out a progress report, I suppose that could be your reasoning. But if you're really motivated on what you're doing, which I suggest you pick a project you'll be motivated in doing, which is hard, which is why you have, like, 2 years before you actually have to pick something. It allows you to kind of develop those skills of building something out that is a long-term thing that you know you're striving towards the end. And the end is sometimes a product, sometimes the end for students is just that presentation. I just want to get it done and have this on my resume. Mm-hmm. And that was also part of my reasoning, was I wanted it on my on my resume. But I think having that chance to do so something long-term, self-motivated, self-driven, not prescribed by the content of the class itself, was really helpful because it really allowed me to explore some very personal things in my life, while doing something and supplementing my education, with things that I wouldn't have normally done.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the semester, you feel, I can't do anything other than school.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Oh, yeah. So tell me a little bit about your independent study project and, like, why you chose that and the steps you took to complete it.
So, my project was inspired partly by my grandfather's experience during World War II. It was initially actually inspired by Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
Or not Inferno, but the whole Divine Comedy, the Inferno, Purgatorio, the Paradiso. And I wanted to do something similar, and I've always loved writing sci-fi. Now, that first semester, when you're supposed to be working on your project slash deciding it, throughout my conversations with my professor, I was geared more towards doing something that would give me more of an opportunity to do actual research of original documents, I think. And I think that's why she encouraged me to do the project I ended up doing rather than choosing the mostly creative sci-fi story that I wanted to do. But I'm glad she did that. At the time, I wasn't sure what to think of it. I kind of had a moment. But it allowed me to research World War II, which I've always been interested in and have always enjoyed watching programs on the History Channel since I was like 8, on World War II, anything World War II. It allowed me to look up my grandfather's history. And unfortunately, the December before I started the program, so December 2009, my grandfather had a stroke and he wasn't able to talk really well anymore, not very understandably. And what's funny about that is that very semester in October 2009, I thought I should record his story. I should interview him. I should record this. And I was going to do it over fall break. And I don't remember why I didn't, but I didn't.
Oh.
And that's one of those times where then you know if I want to do something and it is time, really time relevant like that, do it now because you never know what's going to happen. So if you ever have that feeling that I should do something, feel like something is going to happen that'll prevent me later on, just do it.
Oh my gosh.
Really urge you to do that. Cause that would have really helped. Cause I tried interviewing him for my project and it just didn't work out. Unfortunately. But like I said, I still had his military records and things that he had done and I could use library resources since I was working at the library at the time to do that research. And I got to do some studying of the Divine Comedy that I wouldn't have normally done in order to try and do my own similar structure of it. And I think I made the project a little bigger than it needed to be because I was thinking of the giant project. I wanted to write an epic poem about my grandfather's experience, incorporating his experience, incorporating others' experience, but making it creative and making it... oh my gosh, I can't think of the word. It's an A word. Allegory.
Okay.
I wanted to make it an allegory, like Dante's Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
And in trying to do that, I was good thinking about the whole picture because then I kind of would know where I wanted to go. I think I shouldn't have started with the last part of it because that's where I started and that's the only section I've written up to now. But again, it allowed me to explore all of these different areas that had I not had this opportunity, I wouldn't have done it on my own. So if you have a personal project that you want to do, that's a great way to do it during school.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my big thing, was I wanted to write a really cool creative piece. I wanted to write something inspired and dedicated to my grandfather, a way to kind of commemorate him. And it was also a way to tie in and do some research on a lot of seemingly unconnected things.
Oh, that's really awesome. And I like that you were able to connect it to your grandfather and your family. I think that's really cool and inspiring.
Yeah.
So while you were in college, did you get the chance to study abroad or visit any places outside of this area?
I did. I got to go to England for, it wasn't 14 days, I think it was like 10 or 12. It was summer of 2010 that I took in, it ended up being an independent study class because there was only like four of us. And I can't really imagine more than that many people going with just one professor. Mm-hmm. But we flew into Manchester, and from Manchester Airport, we took the trains all the way up to, Grasmere. Well, actually, we took it up to, it was the Cumbria area. It's called Cumbria because it's in the northwestern part of Britain, just south of Scotland.
Okay.
That's called Cumbria District, and, then we took the buses into Grasmere. Very pretty landscape, very, very giant hills. I would never call them mountains, but they are the largest hills I have ever seen in my entire life.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember flying, when we were flying over parts of England, just seeing the way that their towns are built. They're just built around the rivers and the waterways, which is cool, and it makes sense. And then you look at, like, you fly over the plains of America, and they're just all this patchwork, and there's not that patchwork there necessarily in England. I mean, there are parts that have it, but it's just really different. Neat to see the differences. And we were studying William Wordsworth, who was a poet, and so Grasmere was where he lived and where he did his writings, and so we would read his stuff on our own in the evenings, and then during the day we would go out and explore. Not just Grasmere, but we went really far out to Hawkshead was where he took where he went to school, and I got to see his schoolroom as it was in the 1700s.
Oh wow!
And they have it's really funny because they have this little part like showcased off where apparently he like inscribed his name or something into the desk. And, apparently he got punished for it or something silly. But it was really cool to get to see the small towns that were there. It was really cool to see that they might say, yeah, that barn over there, it was built in the 1700s. And you're like, that's really cool. And they're like, eh, it's not that cool. We have things from like 500 years ago. and whereas in America, we don't even have, I don't even know of a structure that is 300 years old.
New.
I mean, the house is 165, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I remember part of our assigned readings, and I thought this was the weirdest thing when I first saw that the teacher assigned these. We had, of course, Wordsworth's works. One of his, it was called The Lyrical Ballads, I believe, which made sense. And then we had a book just on English culture. And she was like, just read the whole book before you get there. I think I read like two chapters because I was just really bored of it. And it was this old book. And granted, I got my book used, but it was this old, weird, nasty-looking book. And I started reading in it, and it was telling me these things about the culture. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try and not be that American tourist, but I am going to have my camera, first off. And second, you know, I'm not that loud American that's just like yelling and shaking everybody's hand and doing all this. And what really can be totally different about the two cultures? And to be honest, I didn't find that big of a difference. There are some interesting smaller differences that if you didn't pay attention, you would probably miss. But I don't think I offended anybody. I'm pretty sure I didn't. They're never going to see me again, and I'm never going to see them again.
Oh my gosh.
So it was really cool. The place we stayed was this really cute bed and breakfast And apparently, right above that bed and breakfast on the hill, there is this house that Sting owns that he goes to. Of course, he wasn't there. And I made friends with all these fun couples. But it was this one couple that told me about it. And so we would take walks every evening together. And so I snuck up there to try and see if he was in, but he wasn't.
Oh my gosh. I think it's really cool because I also would like to study abroad or go visit somewhere in England is actually where I was thinking of going. So
if you don't know the language, like even though I studied German, I certainly am not fluent now, but even at near the very end of my studies, I wasn't close to fluency and I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much just going over there. If I could speak the language really well or at least understand it really well, then it would have been a great experience and I still want to do it someday, but only after I actually know the language. And England it's different, but you can talk to people.
Exactly. I feel the same way about Spanish. I can't go to Spain because I would not know what they're saying. So to kind of wrap up college, what's one piece of advice you would give to someone each year of college, like for a freshman and so on?
Freshman, I would say explore. Don't be afraid to hang out on campus, attend meetings of different groups on campus. Don't be afraid to, don't think it's a waste of time to just hang out on campus for a professor's lecture or for a talk. I know in the beginning they tend to have like this foam dance thing, and that's always fun. I think it's easy as a college student, and this can be applied, it's easy for anyone really, but just to become cynical, especially if you're a commuter and say, oh, I'm just going there to go to school, and that's all. But you really miss out on a lot if that's your mindset. Sophomore year, freshman year, if you were really out there and just doing lots of things, you might start to really think, okay, what are the activities I want to focus on? What are things that first you want to put on your resume that you think would look good, that you would like to talk about to a potential employer, and that are going to give you experiences that you're going to benefit from, but also just when thinking back to them, you just enjoy them. Junior year, I would really say start to consider what you want to do after school. If you want to continue in grad school, start looking up grad school programs, look into scholarships for them, start, if you can, take the GRE that year. Mm-hmm. See what you get. It's not like you can't take it again. It's kind of expensive, but and I would highly suggest studying for it. But if you do want to go on to grad school, junior year is a good time to think about it. I will admit, both junior year of high school and junior year of college, I did not do either of those. I waited until the last minute or after, in my case for grad school, to decide what I wanted to do after school and go to grad school. But that's okay. We all get to our own paths. We all have our own paths. But that's just a recommendation. And with Dr. Brackett, she will be telling you those same things. So you will get it from her. So I probably actually got it seeped into my brain because of her. And then senior year, enjoy it. I would recommend if you can make your senior year your lightest year in terms of workload, do it, because it will allow you to continue to enjoy the things that you want to enjoy. It'll allow you to do school visits if you need to. It'll allow you to do possible interviews if you have to fly out anywhere to do an interview for a job. But it's also a way to give yourself more personal time, reflect on everything you've done, and just look forward to the next journey.
I can appreciate the advice about being a commuter so far, because I'll be living at home, so.
And, yep.
That's what I'm going to have to try to focus on, is getting involved in things. So with all of that, and everything you've gone through so far with your college, where do you see yourself in 20 years?
Gosh, in 20 years, I'm going to be 45. I'll be halfway in the grave, man, or mostly there.
No.
I see myself being a library director somewhere. I certainly hope that it would be MCPL because I love this organization. I love being here, and being in my library science master's degree with the Public Library Leaders Fellowship program. I'm really enjoying what it would mean to be a director. The things that they're charged with. There are some not fun things that I've learned I would have to do. That would be kind of boring, but that's gonna be with anything. First off, I don't care how much you love your job, you have something that bores you to death, and you have to do it no matter what. But I think that's where I see myself. I see myself also teaching, because I do plan on going on to get my PhD in library science. Maybe not right after my master's program, but at some point in the near future. So I see myself being at least an adjunct professor. And in retirement, I would maybe even a full-time professor just for the fun of it, move on to something different in retirement. I can also see myself in consultancy with libraries. Because I'm trying to be ahead of the game in terms of understanding web development, app development, graphic design, and then of course bigger things of community leadership, and community responsiveness. I could see myself consulting with medium and smaller sized libraries throughout the United States to help them work on strategic plans, missions, all of those fun things. And I think trying to relate that back to my college experience. Even though I went for the degree I wanted, I still, even in my last semester, didn't know what in the world I wanted to do as a career or with my life. Because as an English major, you're really just best for going on to grad school to become an English professor. I mean, there are lots of skills you get from it, like writing, being able to edit, all of that. So that's not, again, not saying anything negative, but that's the easiest thing that I could think of. And I still want to do that. I still want to be a professor someday, just maybe not of English. But with the experience that I had in college at Park, I think it made me a better person, because it brought me out of my shell. When I started going to Park, I was even more shy than I had been in my senior year of high school, just because of life events and all of that. But Park, my experience has really helped kind of draw me out and made me more enthusiastic about life in general.
Oh, that's
So
really cool.
I think those are the things that really helped me. And again, it was saying, I want to start a philosophy club. Well, I want to join a philosophy club. Well, there is no philosophy club. Well, I'm going to make one. Okay, well, you have to have 5 members in order to be a group. So I had to pull some strings and find some people. And then I found some people who genuinely wanted to be like treasurer and all of that, and historian. And they stayed on. They were loyal. They helped me keep the group going, and because of that, again, it brought me out of the shell that was my shyness and made me more confident in saying, hey, I want to do this, and actually
Yeah.
pulling the trigger and doing it.
Wow. I'm amazed right now that you like have all that and you know where you want to go and what you want to do.
I'm amazed. I know where I want
Wow.
to go
Oh my gosh.
too. And to be honest, when I graduated from Park, this is kind of a side story. My last semester at Park, I was taking a business ethics class to finish off my philosophy minor, and I was writing a final paper on the ethics between the treatment of libraries by publishers in terms of ebook sales.
Okay.
And I was going to say that publishers were essentially seen as utilitarian, so they weren't treating libraries very well because I didn't see them as a good market or a profitable market. and I wanted to interview Steve Potter. I had never met this guy, never talked to him. And I was that halftime salary person. And so I emailed him, and I didn't get a response in time to interview him for the class. But he asked if I could, if I wanted, still wanted to meet with him. And I told him yes, even though I could have easily said, nah, the semester's done, there's no reason to meet with you, I can't add to the paper. But I really wanted to just meet him and talk to him and get his perspective, because I thought it'd be cool to meet and talk with the library director. And I remember meeting him for the first time in, like, I think it was January 13th of 2013, or maybe it was January 10th. Either way, I remember being really, really just nervous sitting there in his office and talking to him. He offered me a cup of coffee, and it was a great conversation. And since then, that first meeting, I remember he asked me what I was going to do now that I graduated. And I told him, you know, I have no idea. And he walked over to a wall, pulled out a folder, a Mizzou folder full of information about the Mizzou Library Science Program, and said, you should really check these guys out. And to be honest, because of my conversation with him, because I got to know him, or get to know him a little bit and see what kind of leader he was, I didn't even consider any other school. Of course, I had other people tell me I should think of this school or that school, but I just decided I'm going to follow his footsteps. And since that first meeting, since I just randomly said, hey, I want to meet you and talk with you about this for my paper, oh, I can't add to my paper, but I still want to meet with you, it's grown into a really cool mentorship where I get to sit down and I get to talk to him and pick his brain on anything from library science to just life in general.
So has he kind of influenced your wanting to become a library director, or was that
already? Oh yeah, he way influenced me. He's definitely my inspiration for wanting to become a library director. It's just been, and you know, to make that more applicable to you and anyone else, don't, even if it seems like a missed opportunity for something that you would have immediately had a gain from, because I missed the chance to actually put that in my paper, I still gained a great knowledge about libraries in general and what was going on. And then that one contact grew into something that I never really would have thought it would have been. Could go back and tell myself, you know, in what, 2 years from now, you'll be having meetings with him regularly. You'll have this new position in something called the Story Center, using the skills you got as a writing editor in chief of the Creative Writing Journal. Which that's one thing I didn't tell you about. Another activity I had was being the chief editor in chief of the Creative Writing Journal at Park, the Scribe. So if you want to submit anything, you should to them. I'm trying to work with them now, but I haven't had a whole lot of success. But if I could go back and tell myself that, I wouldn't believe it one bit. I'd be like, really? So you don't really know where things are gonna go. And there's always an opportunity out there. Even though it's easier to see the negative side of it, always focus on the opportunity, because then you'll be happier for it, you'll be more positive, you'll draw more people around yourself, and you'll just kind of enjoy the whole thing more.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sitting down with me today, Cody, and talking to me.
Thanks for letting me talk at you forever. I apologize, I talked your ear off.
You
hit 25 and you just automatically, I've been a little old man my whole life, but you really become a little old person at that time, and you just,
Well, hey, that's fine with me. I know listening to your story will definitely help me as I go into Park University in the honors program, and young people that listen will get a lot of really good advice, so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Alexa.